Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship. Special welcome to David and Virginia Williams, who will be providing special music for us today. And I know we have several visitors today, so it's good to have you here and extend a special welcome to you as well. I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right beside the parlor. You'll note the back page of the bulletin, we're definitely in summer mode now. There's no more Bible study until September. I will be starting my vacation this week. There will be guest preachers the following three Sundays, and the listing is there that Reverend Isaac Salam will be here the next 2 weeks, and then our own Reverend Doreen Parker Freeman will be preaching on the 30th for me. So we're looking forward to that. As I think I did last time, I'm going to almost chastise you and encourage you. I know when the pastor's away, you know, the mice will play someplace else, but I do encourage you to come to worship when there are guest preachers, and you know, show support to them. Do it as a personal favor to me, if anything. No, I won't know if you were here or not necessarily. Although I do get sometimes a little, well, there weren't many people here. You know, well, there wasn't much offering that day. You know, there wasn't. I do see attendance counts, so it's like I don't see the offering records, but I see the attendance counts. So I know that a lot of people don't always come, and I know it's summer. I understand, but our attendance has been up the last couple weeks. I'd like to see it stay up this week, you know, instead of going back down. So I do encourage you to please come to worship. Even though I'm not here, there will be a worship service, and I'm sure a wonderful message, and do encourage you to do that the rest of this month. I will be back for the first Sunday in September as we celebrate communion together. That's Labor Day weekend. We'll still be here in the parlor for that Sunday. It'll be the last Sunday, and then we will move back to the sanctuary for the second Sunday in September. Don't have to talk about changing time, because we didn't change time this time. We're just going to change location. But also, do want to let you know that Marilyn Glover, our pianist and organist, has the petition for registered Malden voters. If you're a registered Malden voter, this pertains to you. There's a question to try and get a question on November ballot regarding preserving Malden with Community Preservation Act. And there's more information. It's not an endorsement of the act. It's an endorsement to get the question on the ballot. And if this were to be passed by the voters of the Commonwealth, then Malden could be in line for getting some matching funds, I believe, Marilyn, matching funds,
or less,
but some funds to do some community development projects within the city. So again, if you're a registered voter in Malden and you're willing to put your name on a petition to put the question on the ballot, then Marilyn has that, and see her after the service today, and put your John Hancock or Jane Hancock on that. And there is a flyer that's out in the kitchen, so you can see more information about it, too. Do you want to say anything else, Marilyn? Okay, that's fine. All right. So let's turn in the hymnal to selection number 338 for our responsive call to worship. We will be reading a variety of verses from both the Old and the New Testament as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship, and let's prepare that as we read together. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord.
Though your sins are like sky, they shall be as white as snow.
They are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And will purify us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin.
But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father behind the fence,
Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression.
Oh God, you do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy.
If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
We are here to worship together, celebrate the forgiveness that God offers to us. Our opening hymn is Our Great Savior, number 109. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray together. Lord Jesus, our friend, help, strength, and guide, as we gather today, open our minds and our souls and hearts that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to follow you as you lead us to the place that has been created for us. Father, forgive us where we have fallen short of your will for us, and renew our troubled spirits with the assurance of your love and mercy. We ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. We now pray as he taught, praying aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated.
Gail's doing okay. Cindy's recuperating from surgery.
She's on my list to call today.
Okay, and Cindy's here, so Cindy's continues her recuperation, so we keep them in prayer. Spoke with Claire Stevens this week. Claire is flying to Florida, moving to Florida on August 30th. Her son has bought a house down there, home down there, and they, you know, daughter-in-law there, moving at that point. So if you wanted to call Claire, at some point she will get an address and new phone number to us. But if you'd like to call her ahead of time, I encourage you to do that in the next couple of weeks. She is trying to be here until she moves, but there may be an issue. Her son may have, you know, have her go stay someplace for a few days too, so for respite care. So, but just try calling her if you'd like to. Also, any update on Heather?
Only that there's no cancer in the bone marrow now. Now they're waiting to reschedule the new bone marrow.
Which is a miracle.
Yes, it is.
And just the experimental medicine did work, and it's wonderful. We do have several sympathies today. We want to continue to remember the Berry family, and sisters are here today. The flowers that you're enjoying, both the vision, the view of, and the aroma of, are from the service yesterday that was held for Lucille. And so, you know, we're enjoying the flowers, and we do want to keep Lucille and Dorothy and Edith in prayer today, as Edith is going home today, I think, or tomorrow. So we want to keep her in prayer. She's going home to New York, but I want to keep the Berry family in prayer today. We want to keep Judy Dean and her family in prayer. Judy's brother Malcolm, who's been sick for a very long time, did pass away last Sunday morning, and services were held this past week. So I want to keep Judy in prayer. And also the Foxen family. Mark and Daddy's grandson, Tommy, passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly this week. And calling hours are this afternoon at the funeral home and ready. Everything else, all other services are private for this family only. But I want to keep the family. They're devastated, obviously. And just want to keep them in prayer today. So do you have any requests for prayer, either concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family for prayer this morning? You know, Naomi's back in camp, so that's good. Betty, were you raising your hand, Betty?
Yeah.
Okay.
My daughter-in-law.
Your daughter-in-law, Lisa, right. She had an eye transplant.
Yeah. And so far, the Reverend Fleming.
Okay.
Okay,
Reverend Henry Fleming is still in the hospital in New Hampshire waiting for transfer to become strong enough to be transferred to a Boston hospital for surgery. And Joan Betty's daughter-in-law, Lisa, had an eye transplant surgery a few weeks ago, I think, now, and recuperating from that. Marilyn, an update on Paul?
Paul, yeah, he did have a surgery on Wednesday that didn't take part of his lung and do some plastic surgery as well, so he'll be laid up for a while. This was a day to pop.
There's a neighbor of Maryland's, you know, praying for, named Paul, who did have surgery this week, and will be facing some more surgery, but want to keep him in prayer and treatment, it sounds like. Richard?
Just a couple of things. Elizabeth's off to Oceanwood today for her camping experience, and Emily's up there, and we stopped this morning.
This week, too?
Week she's at the Christian Youth Conference, and we went up there to Beth's this morning just to deliver a birthday card. Elizabeth was 13 on Friday, and we saw a video of the Christian Youth Conference girls singing, and it was really very nice, and a large group of them. And we'll be going to graduation on Saturday. Emily will graduate. This is her third year, final year.
That's great. So we want to keep, you know, Emily and Elizabeth as they're at, you know, their camping experience of the summer. And we want to keep others that are, you know, other kids, children, youth that are attending camp and families that are attending camp this summer. Both, you know, remember our friend with the ocean of camps. Yes, in here. Family
friend
with pancreatic cancer. We have a friend that has pancreatic cancer. Yeah, so we want to lift that person up in prayer today. Who else have a prayer request? Now then, let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together.
Thank you.
come to your house this day to worship you. Some of us have traveled perhaps a great distance and others not very far off. It's good to be able to gather here to worship you and to spend these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, we've lifted up several concerns and celebrations to you, and we lift these people up to you now. We thank you for hearing our private petitions. We pray now that you will hear our corporate prayers as well. Lord, we do just pray for those who are ill today. Some have been diagnosed and awaiting treatments. Others are undergoing treatments. Some have had surgeries and are recuperating. Some are in rehabilitation. Lord, we just pray for all of those folks and just pray for your healing touch according to your will in their lives. We pray especially this day, Lord, for those who are in sadness and mourning. We know of three families within our church that are in that process right now. And very different circumstances, Lord. And Lord, we just lift these families who are hurting up to you. We pray for your spirit of peace and comfort to minister to them. We pray for other families that are also in this process of sadness and grief. And just pray, Lord, that they may know of your love for them, your love for their departed one, that they may see through this fog of grief right now, that they may see that there is sunshine eventually. Lord, just pray that you will be with them and watch over them and protect them. We pray for those who are traveling, Lord. Some are returning home, others are going on vacation. We pray for those who are at camp this week. Maybe a safe time, a good time, a learning time, a time of drawing closer to you. That they may have a spiritual experience. We thank you for the staff, Lord, that are at our camps, that each summer provide programming for our youth and special activities that they may draw closer to you. Lord, we pray for our world today, and it seems like we always hear the bad news. Lord, we also are thankful for the good things going on in our world. And we tend to focus and gravitate toward the negativity. Lord, help us to put that in perspective, but also to realize there are good things going on, and help us to promote those, Lord, and to share the love that we experience from Jesus Christ with others, that they may not feel so bogged down in their misery. They may sense your love. Some may feel unwanted and unloved. But help us to share your love with them. They may know that there might not be anyone here on earth that they've heard of that loves them, but that they have a God in heaven who does care for them. Lord, help us to be your ambassadors, to be your messengers. Use whatever talents you have given us. Help us to develop those that we may share the good news with others. Lord, we also, today, as we're thinking about shame and forgiveness, we do confess to you that we don't behave ourselves all the time. And we are sorry for that. We're sorry for doing the things that displease you and go against your will. Father, in these moments, we do pray that you would forgive us of our sins. We thank you that you are a forgiving God. You are a God of second chances. Lord, help us in our daily living to continually turn to you and remember your teachings for us. We lift all of these things up to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have an opportunity to worship God by presenting our tithes and our gifts. So at this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Oh,
present these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our next hymn, I Surrender All, we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 only. You'll stand as we sing. Seated. I want to set the scene for this morning's scripture before Andy comes and reads this morning's text. So I'm basically looking at the first verses in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're going to stop it, Andy's going to stop it. And if you want the rest of the story, I encourage you to go home this afternoon and read farther into chapter 12. But one spring, while his army was at war, King David stayed at home in Jerusalem. One late afternoon, David got up from his nap and went to the palace roof. And while he walked around up there, he looked down and saw a woman taking a bath in her house. And she was very beautiful. So he sent a messenger to find out who she was and learned that she was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of his soldiers. So David sent a messenger to get her. And they brought her to him, and they got to know each other in the biblical sense. Let's put it that way. Do you know what that means? And then she went back home. Afterwards, she discovered what? That she was pregnant. So you now know what it means to be known in the biblical sense. And she sent a message to the King David to tell him. So David sent a message to his commander at war and said, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So the commander sent Uriah home, or to the king. And when Uriah arrived, David asked him how the troops were doing, and if the fighting was going well. And then he sent Uriah home to rest a while. Uriah left the presence of the king, but he did not go home. Instead, he slept at the palace gate with the king's guards, because he felt he would be betraying his comrades if he went home while they were still out in battle. David tried many different things, but Uriah would not go home to be with his wife. Nothing worked. So David sent Uriah back to the battle with a letter to the army commander. and the letter instructed the commander to put Uriah at the front line and where the fighting was the heaviest. And then the army was to retreat so that Uriah would be killed. The commander did as the king ordered, and Uriah was killed in battle. And a message was sent to the king notifying him of this. Andy picks up the story from here.
Scripture reading today comes from 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 through chapter 12, verse 13. I begin with chapter 11, verse 26. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she made lamentations for her husband. And when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Continued in chapter 12, and the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little lamb which he had brought. And he brought it up and grew up with him and his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and became he had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have smitten Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have slain him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this man. For you did it secretly, and I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put your sin, and you shall not die. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Andy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have heard from your holy word this morning, how human King David was. Perhaps we can identify him with him. Not in exact situation, but knowing that we have things that pull at our hearts, that may pull us away from what we know that we should be doing. But Lord, David had Nathan come to him, the prophet of the Lord, speaking wisdom to him. Lord, we don't like to be told when we are wrong, be things pointed out to us. But Lord, sometimes it's good for us to learn and realize the mistakes that we have made. So this morning, Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, not to shame us to feel so terrible when we leave here, but to feel renewed and re-energized and ready to try again to live as faithful disciples and followers of Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you traveled by air recently? I know some have, and if you have, you may have noticed some odd, perhaps even disgusting behavior by some of your fellow travelers. Of course, there's the potential crying baby. Crying child, babies will be babies, and we can sometimes put up with that. There's another thing to be trapped by a nervous seatmate who would prefer chatting, even though we've made it abundantly clear that we'd rather read or listen to music or not be engaged in that conversation. But we can sometimes tolerate that too. But what about the person sitting next to us that begins to perform personal grooming in the seat? Some of this occurs so often that flight attendants, disturbed by the behavior of their passengers, started to use their smartphones to snap pictures of the worst offenders and post them to their own website. The purpose of their site is stated in their URL, passengershaming.com. Since connecting to social media outlets, the site now allows any passenger to become one of the professional official photographers for this website. In fact, the website even sells t-shirts that passengers can wear and say, I'm an official professional photographer for this website. And if you do anything bad, I'm going to get you. The pictures are astounding, and I'm not going to go into detail today, this morning, but you may be able to imagine some of the things depicted. You may have seen some of the things for yourself if you've traveled recently. But other actions probably would not be believed without the photo proof. It seems as though some of these passengers have left their sense of decency and propriety at home. They forgot to pack it. Or if they did, they packed it in their carry-on. They didn't put it in their carry-on. They checked the bag. The intent of this website is to discourage such acts by showing the perpetrators and others how obnoxious and wrong they are. The site is supposed to be a deterrent for ill-mannered behavior, yet in spite of all these pictures, it appears that people are not getting the message. Or maybe it's that while we're quick to recognize the behavior in another person, we have trouble seeing bad behavior in ourselves. Could some of those official photographers for this website be guilty of their own bad behavior? Most probably. It was reported last fall that Warner Brothers was working on a new movie focusing on King David. It's almost certain that the film will include David's encounter with Bathsheba. Steamy scenes like those to which the story lends itself have the ability to sell large numbers of tickets. But the question is whether the filmmakers will include the next scene in the biblical narrative, today's text, Nathan's fascinating way of confronting David with his sin. Much like the passenger-shaming website, Nathan holds before David an unattractive picture of his behavior. As David listens to Nathan's story about the rich man taking the lamb from the poor man, his blood begins to boil. In fact, we read that David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And we get the sense that he is ready to carry out justice himself against this perpetrator. His reaction is a little over the top, perhaps. He says the perpetrator deserves to die for his crime. And even comes up with what he determines to be a just settlement. The rich man, he says, should give the poor man four lambs in exchange for the one that he took. King David, who had been behaving badly by abusing his power when taking Bathsheba for his pleasure, manipulating her husband Uriah, and ensuring his death on the front lines of battle, is now acting the way one would expect the king of Israel to act. King David is ready to defend justice, to go to bat for the little guy, to stand up for the poor. He is ready to dispense serious punishment for one who acted so selfishly. I'm surprised he didn't say to Nathan, "Point him out to me. Let me get my hands on him." But then Nathan lowers the boom and says, "You are the man." No one reading this story needs Nathan to spell it out for them. We see it all along. We see the parallels between the actions of the rich man taking the lamb for the poor man and David's dealings with Bathsheba and Uriah are directly parallel. Everyone sees it. Everyone except David. Now, before we point the finger at David for his lack of understanding, let's remind ourselves of the picture of bad behavior on the internet. Maybe many of us, perhaps all of us, sometimes behave in ways that we do not immediately see as a problem for the people around us. For example, we can become frustrated with people who drive while being distracted by talking on the phone. Yet what happens when we get an important call from a relative or the boss? We too put on our Bluetooth headset and talk away crazily while driving. And speaking of our phones, we know how frustrating it is when we attempt a conversation with someone who's got their face buried in the screen of the phone. Yet we too can get caught up on a social media website or an app for a moment or two, even when we're sitting across the table from someone who is important to us. Some people find it easy to point out the creative accounting practices of banks and mortgage lenders that cause them to need bailouts and crash the economy. All the while, we may be inflating a deduction here and there while doing our taxes. We may struggle with government leaders who seem to say whatever they want to make themselves popular and look good. Somehow we miss that we do much the same when we embellish a little in a post to social media so that others will envy us. Our hypocrisy, when we finally see it in ourselves, can be so frustrating. Like when we're venting to a friend about another who's such a gossip, and suddenly it hits us that we're gossiping at that moment too. Or when we get on social media to complain about all those who complain on social media. Or that moment when we realize we're being judgmental of judgmental people. We're so good at seeing the bad behavior in others, but missing it in ourselves. I recall a children's message I heard years ago about pointing out others' mistakes. The pastor demonstrated that whenever we point our index finger at someone in an accusatory manner, there's three fingers pointing at us. You need to remember that. This reminds me of Jesus' teachings when he said, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," while the log is still in your own eye? "You hypocrite," Jesus said, "first take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." Returning to today's scripture, after his dramatic revelation, Nathan continues talking to David. Not only has David been blind to his own bad behavior, he has also been blind to the blessings he has received from God. Through Nathan, God points out to David that he's like the rich man in the story who doesn't recognize just how much he has already. We need to remember that the story of David's affair with Bathsheba is not a story about forbidden love. It's not some crazy romantic comedy about a couple falling in love while both are married to other people. No, this is a story about power. This is a story about David thinking he can take whatever he wants without consequences, including the wife of another man, if only for an afternoon. Through Nathan, God reminds David that it was God who made him king, who kept him safe from the previous king Saul, when Saul was out to kill David. And God gave David all of his riches, including his wives, which is a little troubling sexist statement about wealth and power in today's world. But it was societal standards and understanding when the Old Testament was written. God goes on to say that if David wanted more, and again, that's a little disturbing, all he had to do was ask. He was so blessed. And God said, "I'll give you more. That's how much I love you, David." Well, all this sexism about owning wives and, you know, having taken as possessions is difficult to get past. This blindness is still a common reality today in people of both genders. For married men and women with great marriages, wonderful children, and comfortable living, still risk it all when they get caught up in physical and emotional affairs. In the moment that David spotted Bathsheba bathing from that rooftop, he wasn't thinking about already being incredibly blessed by God. He wasn't thinking about all the flocks he had out in the field. He wasn't thinking about his status as king or the protection that he'd received when Saul was out to get him. No, David was blind to all of that. All he saw was someone he wanted and he didn't have yet. And he put everything he had in jeopardy. Well, we all try to stay away from celebrity gossip. It's hard to avoid the headlines about their relationships, which sometimes cause us to wonder. Have you ever heard about a celebrity marriage breaking up and wondered how he could have an affair while he was married to such a beautiful model? Or why she would leave your favorite leading man and be dating somebody else? The celebrities sometimes lose sight of what they already have, and we can too. We have a spouse, but not a spouse who looks like that. We have a home, but not one as large and beautiful as our neighbors. We have a job, but we deserve the corner office and our supervisor's position. We have a car, but our friend has a newer one. And you could add to the list. We each could. It could go on and on. And then in our weakest moments, we forget what we already have and make a grab for more. There's no excuse for David's behavior, but there's one positive thing we can say for him. When Nathan finally does point the finger at him and says, "You're the man," David comes clean, completely, immediately. What a refreshing change this is from what we often see in our national life. There's no equivocating. There's no dancing around. There's no attempt to redefine the meaning of the word "is." Once King David views himself in Nathan's prophetic mirror, he casts all of his fortunes on God's grace and God's mercy. Frankly and honestly, he admits what he has done. David's earnest confession, with his courageous acceptance of the consequences, is the first step along the road to healing. Now, this healing was not automatic. It wasn't instantaneous. The grace that the king receives is not cheap. That's why I encourage you to read on in 2 Samuel chapter 12, because you will read on to find out what the consequences are of David's misdeeds. Because God does not respond by saying, "That's all right, Davy. Boys will be boys. Just don't do it again." No. God has some very harsh punishment for David. David embarks that day on a long and difficult road, one that will at times deliver its own piercing brand of pain. But as he will discover, it's the only road that leads to life. It's so easy to see bad behavior in others, but when it comes to our own bad behavior, we often don't see it. As David needed God through Nathan to point out his sin and remind him of all that he had, we too need to be open to the voice of God telling us about our bad behavior and all the things that we have been blessed with. May we respond to the Spirit's leading in our lives without a lot of you shaming and me shaming, so that we may recognize the blessings that are offered to us from God. And let's pray together. If we have wounded any soul today, if we have caused one foot to go astray, if we have walked in our willful ways, dear Lord, forgive. If we have uttered idle words or vain, if we have turned aside from want or pain, lest we ourselves shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins we have confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins we do not see. O guide us, love us, and our keeper be. Dear Lord, amen. Our closing hymn for our time of worship today is Amazing Grace, number 85, and we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. God always wants to lift our burdens, to forgive our mistakes, and to fill our emptiness. Go now to share this good news with all who need it. May God's love surround us, Christ's peace dwell in us, and the Spirit's breath fill us with the freshness of new life. Amen.